And much more.
This is News on the Edge.
Just one more day before the end of the week, so as your last dose of reality before the weekend's parties and TV binges, it's time for the Edge News for April 18th, 2024. I'm Kenny with Campbell and Patrick coming to you live from the Student Union Building on New Paltz campus. Topping tonight's headlines, the U.S. Senate has voted to kill impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, sparing him a trial in the chamber. It was the first time in almost 150 years and only the second time in U.S. history the Senate had considered the impeachment of a cabinet secretary. If two-thirds of the chamber had approved, Mr. Mayorkas would have been removed from office. He was accused of refusing to enforce immigration law. Mr. Mayorkas was also charged by the U.S. House of Representatives with breaching, quote, the public trust, end quote, by making false statements during congressional testimony. In near party line votes on Wednesday, senators dismissed the two articles of impeachment filed by the House 2 months ago. The Department of Homeland Security welcomed the result. The agency's statement said the vote to dismiss, quote, proves definitively that there was no evidence or constitutional grounds to justify impeachment, end quote. Senate Majority Lead Chuck Schumer had proposed a process by which Republicans would be allowed to make speeches and offer procurial motions before Democrats would forge ahead with a vote to dismiss the charges. When Republicans objected, demanding a full trial on the merits of Mayorkas' case, Mr. Schumer, a New York Democrat, moved to force a vote that effectively dismissed the first impeachment charge.
Google has sacked 28 workers who took part in protests against the deal technology giant has with the Israeli government. Google has a joint contract with Amazon worth 1.2 billion, or 960 million euros, called Project Nimbus, which provides Israel's government and military with cloud computing and AI infrastructure. Employees affiliated with the protest group No Tech for Apartheid staged sit-ins at the company's New York and Sunnyvale, California offices. Google said Project Nimbus is not directed at a, quote, is not directed at a highly sensitive, classified, or military workload relevant to weapons or intelligence services, unquote. Google said protesters were disrupting offices and were, quote, physically impeding other employees' work and preventing them from accessing facilities, unquote. The dismissals, which Google confirmed to the BBC, escalated longstanding tensions between the companies and employees opposed to supplying technology to Israel's government. Marches were held last year following the start of the war in Gaza in October, with protesters holding banners that read, "No more genocide for profit." In the most recent protests, staff entered offices and refused to leave, prompting Google to call law enforcement. In a statement, Google called the behavior, quote, "completely unacceptable," unquote. Google is not the only company to face criticism over Israel. McDonald's said it will buy back all of its Israeli restaurants after sales suffered from a boycott of the brand over its perceived support for Israel.
More than a dozen members of America's most famous political family plan to endorse President Joe Biden over their relative, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mr. Biden will be joined by at least 15 members of the Kennedy clan, which helped shape the modern Democratic Party in Pennsylvania on Thursday. The endorsement underlines the lack of support for Mr. Kennedy Jr.'s independent bid to be president within his family. He mounted his campaign after weighing a run for the Democratic nomination. In Philadelphia, Mr. Biden will be introduced by Carrie Kennedy, Mr. Kennedy Jr.'s younger sister. She will highlight Donald Trump's, quote, outrageous lies and behavior, unquote, according to a copy of her remarks released by the Biden campaign. Quote, a vote for Joe Biden is a vote to save our democracy and our decency, unquote, she plans to say.
Legislation that could ban TikTok in the U.S. if China-based owner doesn't sell its stake won a majority boost late Wednesday when House Republican leaders included it in a package of bills that would send aid to Ukraine and Israel. The bill could be law as soon as next week if Congress moves quickly. The TikTok legislation, which passed the House in March, has a widespread support in both chambers, was included in the House foreign policy package after negotiations with the Senate over how long the Chinese technology firm ByteDance Ltd. would have to sell its stake for the app to continue operating in the United States. President Joe Biden has said he would sign the TikTok legislation if it reaches his desk.
People in four U.S. states were left unable to make 911 calls on Wednesday night after widespread system issues. Many services have now been restored after reports that lines went down for call centers across Nevada, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Texas. Federal officials have previously warned that the move to digital systems by emergency services has brought with it the risk of cyber attacks, but a cause of last night's problem has not yet been given. In Las Vegas, Nevada, issues were reported for several hours before police said services had been restored shortly after 10 p.m. local time. Officers had earlier said that they had been able to see when an emergency call was coming from a mobile device, meaning they could phone the caller back.
Let's come a little closer to home with state news headlines. A 62-year-old man was arrested on Tuesday after he allegedly struck and killed a 10-year-old girl who was crossing the street in Brooklyn, police said on Wednesday. The NYPD charged Isaac Karzak with failure to yield to a pedestrian, failure to obey traffic devices, and failure to exercise due care in connection with the incident. The arrest followed an investigation by the department's Highway District Collision Investigation Squad. Karzak was driving a 2022 Buick Enclave SUV westbound on Wallabout Street, where he crossed the solid double yellow lines into the eastbound lane before making a left turn onto Franklin Avenue, according to officials. That's when he struck Yiggy Wurzberger, who was in the crosswalk and had the right of way, police said. Karzak remained on the scene and was eventually taken into custody, according to the NYPD. His attorney information was not immediately available. Police continue to investigate the incident, officials said. After the crash, street safety advocates pointed out that the intersection where Wurzberger was killed lacked what's known as daylighting, or the removal of parking spaces near intersections, and had limited visibility for drivers. Mayor Eric Adams vowed last year to remove parking spots from 1,000 intersections annually.
President Joe Biden will visit Central New York next week on the heels of an announcement of funding for Macron. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told Spectrum News One on Thursday. The president's planned visit has no details at this time, but comes as Schumer's announcement that Macron has agreed to a preliminary deal that would unlock more than $6 billion in federal funding towards its chip manufactured plans in the region. Schumer's officials said the company has agreed to $6.1 billion preliminary memorandum of terms, or a PMT funding agreement, covering its Micron project in Clay near Syracuse and one in Idaho. Schumer's office said it's tied to the larger $100 billion plan to build four chip fab plants in central New York.
Leaders in the State Office of Cannabis Management on Wednesday celebrated the opening of the state's 100th legal dispensary, putting on a brave face as the governor's office works to finish a review of the troubled department and needed changes to get New York's recreational marijuana industry off the ground. State and local officials attended the grand opening of Big Gas Dispensary LLC in New Paltz, Ulster County, where emotions ran high. Quote, "It's been a really long road, it's been a hard road, but we're very, very thankful," unquote, Big Gas co-owner Zymia Lewis said. The store marks the 100th brick-and-mortar cannabis shop to open in the state more than 3 years after the legalization of recreational cannabis. The slow rollout continues to frustrate Governor Kathy Hochul.
After announcing a conceptual agreement on the state budget earlier this week, Governor Kathy Hochul said Wednesday that only minor details need to be negotiated. Some lawmakers said that they were caught off guard by the announcement of a deal. However, in an interview with New York One political anchor Errol Lewis on Inside City Hall, Hochul said she had done this type of agreement with her last two budgets. Quote, "When you look at what we ended up announcing as our final budget, you'll see it's the same as what I said on Monday," the governor said. Quote, "Again, there's fine tuning to be done, so it's not a 100% done budget when I announced it, but our staff continues to work through the days and nights. Are we on the one-yard line? I think we're pretty close," unquote.
And now, the Edge weather forecast. Things are starting to warm up as the clouds stick around, as tomorrow we'll have highs of 58 and lows of 46. We're going to have a quick break, but when we come back, Campbell will have top state headlines. Your Edge News time is 7:09.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Let's see what's going on in our neck of the woods with today's local headlines and community calendar. Alderperson Jeannie Edwards, D Ward 4, is asking city lawmakers to consider additional regulations for food trucks after she's received ongoing public safety concerns from constituents regarding food trucks in her Midtown ward. Common Council President Andrea Schaut said at Wednesday's Laws and Rules Committee meeting that residents have expressed several concerns about food trucks, including them taking on-street parking spots from residents and businesses and the vehicles reducing visibility at intersections and potentially blocking access by emergency vehicles. Schaut added other complaints surrounding food truck operators who own a property next to where they are parking their trucks, plugging cords into outlets in their residences, blocking sidewalks. This is a hazard at night, unquote, Edwards added. Quote, we want to make sure that the permitting process is strong and followed, unquote, Schaut said. Alderperson Terrell Mickens, D Ward 5, inquired about what permits are required to operate a food truck in the city. Assistant Corporation Counsel Matthew Jankowski said that food truck operators must apply for a $60 peddling license from the Kingston Police Department. Mickens also inquired about what the health permitting requirements are for food trucks. Alderperson Michael Tierney, D Ward 2, noted that these permits are issued by Ulster County and not the city.
Pro Wrestling will slam into Kingston this Friday for a fundraiser benefiting the Ulster County Italian American Foundation. Colorful characters like Captain Payne, Bubba, Nightmare in Wonderland, and the 500-pound Big Bag Blake will come to life on the mat, doling out drama-filled beatdowns. Expect an Italian street fight, various East Coast professional wrestling title bouts, a three-way battle, and a, quote, lumberjack strap, unquote, match. Visit ucitalianamericanfoundation.org for more info and a list of local businesses selling tickets.
U.S. Representative Pat Ryan has sent off a letter to top official at the United States Post Office demanding to know when Rifton Post Office, closed on April 5th, will reopen. Ryan sent his letter to Postmaster General Louis DeJoy to, quote, demand answers on the reopening timeline following the abrupt closure of the Rifton Post Office, end quote. Ryan's office said in a press release, Rifton residents were given only a 30-day notice that the Rifton Post Office would be closing on April 5th due to a safety hazard and leased property where the office is located. The release said, quote, USPS services, including the location of all P.O. boxes, were transferred to the Tilson Post Office, end quote, the release said. Quote, residents were not given further explanation regarding the safety hazard or a reopening plan or timeline for the Rifton location, end quote, Ryan's office said.
And now on to campus news. Embark on a journey through the cosmos, exploring the universe from enchanting nebulae to explosive supernovae, and from the intricate beauty of the planets to the vast expanse of galaxies. Join us for a mesmerizing musical oddity across six captivating acts as we delve into the night sky tonight, consider how stars are born, view the remarkable remnants of stars, land on the planets of the solar system, traverse extragalactic scales, and reconnect with your roots on Earth. Immerse yourself in moments of introspection, learn interesting facts, and enjoy the symphony of the cosmos with us. This event has multiple dates, so don't worry if you can't make one. Those dates are Thursday, April 18th, 2024, 8:30 p.m., Friday, April 19th, 2024, 7:30 p.m., and Saturday, April 20th, 2024, 5 at 5 p.m.
Let's zoom out a bit and see what's around the world. Over an unprecedented 48 hours, the skies of the United Arab Emirates darkened and torrential storms washed away Dubai's picture-perfect image. About 10 inches of rain, roughly twice the UAE's yearly average, fell in a single day, leaving much of the city's outdoor infrastructure underwater. Georges Ruffles, a British expat living in Dubai, told BBC News experiencing the storms was like, quote, living through the apocalypse, unquote. He watched from his apartment overlooking the city's usually tranquil marina, as furniture was flung from balconies by gale-force winds and Rolls-Royce cars were abandoned on roads, suddenly transformed into rivers. Quote, we live high up and could barely see a thing past the balcony. It felt like midnight in the middle of the afternoon, he said. A cluster of four large storms, each of them towering 9 miles into the atmosphere and fueled by powerful jet streams, rolled into the UAE one after another, according to the forecasters at BBC Weather. Heavy rainfall over the desert landscape of the Gulf is not unheard of, and residents were warned via a public alert system, but Dubai's weather infrastructure was unprepared for the worst rain since 1949. In many ways, few modern cities would have coped with the size of the deluge that hit Dubai this week.
A leading far-right German politician has gone on trial, accused of using a Nazi slogan. Bjorn Hawk, who leads the Alternative for Germany party, AfD, in Thuringia, is being tried for saying the words All for Germany during a 2021 rally. The slogan is associated with the SA stormtroopers who played a key role in the Nazi rise to power. Mr. Hawk, a former history teacher, denies knowing about the phrase's roots. He faces up to 3 years of imprisonment. At a campaign event in the state of Saxony-Anhalt in May 2021, Mr. Hawk ended a speech by saying, "Everything for our homeland, everything for Saxony-Anhalt, everything for Germany." Prosecutors say he knew the phrase was banned for being associated with the Nazis' Sturmbalzung, but he says it is a common saying which should not be criminalized. In a second incident at another rally in December 2023, he said all four, to which the audience responded Germany. Prosecutors sought to try him for both incidents, but the court in Halle decided to judge him only for the 2021 rally. A verdict is expected next month.
A severe drought has led to power cuts in Ecuador, which relies on hydroelectrical sources for much of its power. Energy companies published a schedule of power cuts, which has seen the capital and other major cities go without electricity for hours on end. The drought has already led to water rationing in neighboring Colombia. On Monday, power companies in Ecuador announced power cuts lasting between 2 and 5 hours to ensure less electricity was used. The Energy Ministry said Ecuador's power system had been affected by, quote, several unprecedented situations, unquote, including a drought, increased temperatures, and minimum water levels. The power shortage has been made worse by Colombia's decision to halt its export of energy to Ecuador in order to prioritize its own needs during the drought.
Amsterdam has been searching for any way to rein in the number of tourists that visit the city every year. The city has also long tried to control the crowds in its red light district, where rowdy groups of tourists often cause disruptions to local residents. It has added strict rules about smoking marijuana, it has banned new tourist stops, and still the people keep coming. Now the city, which is well known for its canals and 17th century art, as well as for its legal industry and easy access to marijuana, has taken one more step to further restrict the explosive growth of tourists. It is banning hotels from being built. Quote, Amsterdam is saying no to new hotels, the city council said in a statement. We want to make and keep the city livable for residents and visitors, unquote, it added.
Kenya's military chief, General Francis Amondi Ogola, has died after a military helicopter crash in the west of the country, the president has announced. General Ogola was in the helicopter alongside 11 other military personnel. Only two people survived. In a news conference, President William Ruto said it was a, quote, moment of great sadness for the country. He had earlier convened an urgent Security Council meeting. Mr. Ruto said the crash happened at 1420 local time. The Kenya Air Force has dispatched an air investigation team to establish the cause of the crash, the president said. The helicopter came down in Elgeyo Marakwet County, some 400 kilometers or 250 miles northwest of the capital, Nairobi. Quote, unfortunately, the aircraft crashed shortly after takeoff, end quote, Mr. Ruto said. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Your Edge News time is 7:21.
I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf. Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, talk to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for The Huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz Athletics. The State University of New York at New Paltz Athlete of the Week poll is back for the spring 2024 season. We are allowing the fans, students, campus, and the entire Hawks community to decide on who should be the hashtag NPHawks Athlete of the Week. Whichever athlete receives the most votes will be featured on NPHawks.com and all hashtag NPHawks social media channels. Lexi Atwater had a game-high 6 goals and 2 assists in the Hawks' 21-3 win over Potsdam this past week. Atwater piled on another 6 goals in the Hawks' 14-13 nail-biter loss against Oswego on Saturday. Ryan Scully had 2 goals and reached 100 career points in the Hawks' 11-6 victory over Plattsburgh.
More people up for Swinging Impulse's Athlete of the Week. Matt Sarni fired a total of 7.2 innings, allowed no runs, and striking out 7 batters over 2 games in the Hawks series win over Oneonta. Sarni received the win in Game 2 of the series, going 4 innings, striking out 4 in the 6-2 victory. Sarni also came in and shut the door in the Hawks game 3, 14-7 win, throwing 3.2 innings, while allowing only 1 hit and striking out 3 batters and recording the save. Sidney Walgren tossed a complete game, allowing only 1 run in the Hawks' 2-1 victory over Suniac rival Oneonta on Tuesday.
Major League Baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani's record-setting $700 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers has been the talk of the baseball world on the field since the two-way star agreed to his 10-year contract in early December 2023. Quote, if Cooper wasn't the fastest man in baseball, he was right up there with the next guy, said Paul Snyder, longtime scouting director for the Atlanta Braves, who told ESPN's Anscape. Cooper spent 42 days with the team, and on the 43rd day, the threshold for earning a mandatory MLB pension was set to play a game before it was canceled due to rain. Before his next appearance, though, he was moved down to the minor leagues, never to return.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. Elsbeth has scored an early season 2 renewal at CBS, Variety has learned. The news comes after the freshman series has aired just 4 episodes, with the 5th set to air on April 18th. It was originally ordered to series at CBS in May 2023, but did not debut until February 2024 after production was impacted by the strikes that shut down much of Hollywood in 2023. Kerry Preston stars in the series as Elsbeth Tascaconi, reprising the role she previously played on both The Good Wife and The Good Fight. In the series, Elsbeth leaves Chicago and heads to New York to work as an investigator alongside the police. The cast also includes Wendell Pierce and Kara Patterson.
Melissa Barrera may have been fired from the Scream series, but she's still very much part of the franchise's, quote, family. Several Scream actors, including Mason Gooden, David Arquette, Matthew Lillard, and Skeet Ulrich, attended the Los Angeles premiere of Pereira's new horror movie, Abigail, Wednesday night. Abigail is helmed by Scream 2022 and Scream 6 co-directors Matt Bettinelli, Olpin, and Tyler Gillette, known collectively as Radio Silence. Quote, even after the project is over, we still have our chat, Barrera told me. Quote, they were all invited here, and a lot of them are from Scream came, and I think it says a lot. It says a lot about how true the love is. No one can ever take that away from us, unquote.
It's Thursday, so grab that remote and recline that your lazy boy. It's TV Night in America. In Hulu's dark, gripping Under the Bridge, adapted for television by Quinn Shepherd, and based on Rebecca Godfrey's 2005 nonfiction account of the same name, the audience finds itself in the picturesque community of Victoria, British Columbia. After attending a party with her, quote, friends, near the infamous Carriage Flower Bridge, 14-year-old Rena Virk, Victra Gupta, never returns home. Much more than a retelling of a horrific true crime, Under the Bridge is a show about longing, otherness, race, and the fertilities of community. The series was greenlit in 2022, a week before Godfrey's death at 54 from lung cancer. The story has numerous characters and jumps around in time, but the series begins on November 14, 1997, the day Rena's death.
Using flashbacks and flash-forwards, Under the Bridge reveals how and why something so monstrous could have occurred. Months before her death, Rena is feeling ostracized due to her Indian heritage and her family's faith as Jehovah's Witnesses. She finds herself enamored of Joe. The manipulative teen has all the freedom, fearlessness, and access Rena craves. Craving attention and camaraderie, Rena lets her behavior spiral out of control, leading to her expulsion from her parents' home. The unfolding events underscore that adolescents' capacity for compassion is fragile and often informed by the actions of the grown-ups around them. As the adults try to make sense of the barbarity of Rena's murder, Under the Bridge invites viewers into the kids' perspectives and experiences, which inevitably colors their understanding of young people involved in the crime.
Today is April 18th. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge New staff. Here's some folks who share your special day. Actor David Tennant turns 52, pop singer Pink Panthers turns 22, and Kourtney Kardashian of the Kardashians turns 44 today.
That's about it from us, folks. But before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1980, Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, formal independence from Britain is proclaimed. In 1853, the first train in Asia begins running from Bombay to Tana. In 1521, Martin Luther confronts the Emperor Charles V, refusing to retract the views which led to his excommunication.
And that'll be it from us for the day. On the Edge News staff are our directors Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Alyssa Roldan. Sources for the Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and The New Pulse Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting-edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful night.